Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, February 22nd. We have an exciting show planned for you tonight, but first I want to turn it over to Denise and she has a little bit of beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news. The registration deadline for the NAHA 2015 Awards has passed. NAHA stands for North American Hairstyling Awards. The North American Hairstyling Awards is owned, operated, and managed by the Professional Beauty Association, PBA. The North American Hairstyling Awards is the most prestigious photographic beauty competition in North America. Held during PBA Beauty Week each year, NAHA honors the professional salon industry's most talented and cutting-edge artists in 14 distinct categories of excellence. The 2015 NAHA entry process was done entirely online. All entries were supposed to have been submitted by 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on February 19th, which was a few days ago, so they're no longer accepting entries for registration to the NAHA Awards. But some of the categories were avant-garde, contemporary classic, editorial stylist of the year, hair color, hairstylist of the year, makeup artist of the year, Master Hairstylist of the Year, which was by invitation only, so you had to be invited to that for that category. Men's Hairstylist of the Year, a new category that's new for 2015, Nail Professional of the Year. I would love to see how that turns out. Newcomer Stylist of the Year, Salon School Design of the Year, Salon Team of the Year, Student Hairstylist of the Year, and Texture. So for more information on the NAHA Awards and Professional Beauty Association, you can go to probeauty.org just to get more information on PBA, and you can go to probeauty.org/NAHA to get information on the North American Hairstyling Awards, when that's due to take place and where it's due to take place.
Right.
Are you ready for the 2015 FABAIC? FABAIC is the Face Art and Body Art International Competition. FABET takes place May 21st through the 24th of this year at the Bonaventure Resort and Spa in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. All classes are available for all levels. There are hands-on workshops, demo classes, and special presentations. So for more information on FABEC and its class schedule, you can go to their website, which is FABEC.com, which is FABAIC.com. And then there's a little bit more class information for the Fort Lauderdale area. March 7th and 8th in Fort Lauderdale, the Business and Beauty of Bridal is coming to Fort Lauderdale. It's going to be hosted at Cosmic School of Makeup Artistry, and that's put on by the Powder Group. The Business and Beauty of Bridal has been one of the Powder Group's core programs since the company's inception in 2008. Over the past 11 years, as both the bridal and pro makeup industries have evolved, we have evolved this important program regularly to include the most up-to-date and critical information from every corner of the area of bridal and special event work. The program today is one of the comprehensive bridal business and artistry programs in our history, and we're thrilled to be presenting the program in 2015 with the amazing Joanne McDonough, partnering with the Powder Group's founder, Michael DeVellis. Sponsored by Scandinavia and Crown Brush, there are two great events offered as part of this program. For attendees who want a basic overview of the bridal industry from a business and artistic standpoint, we have an intense two-hour seminar and demonstration providing a solid overview of artistry and business for this lucrative area of makeup artistry. A seminar demonstration program including a business overview, as well as a full-day hands-on workshop, which is outlined below, which I'll give you the details of that. The full-day business and beauty of bridal workshop will review the following: defining the parameters of your bridal business, marketing yourself as a bridal artist. That's going to be so important. That's always needed, marketing as a bridal artist. So many people always have so many questions about that one particular area. Social media, online promotion, and technology in the bridal business, working with event planners, photographers, and bridal businesses, hiring and maintaining team and assistant rosters, pricing, packages, day rates, and destination events, and that's another area that's always a little tricky for some people, is pricing and packages, invoicing, confirmations, and contracts, reservation deposits, payment methods, again, more areas that conversation is needed in, the makeup design trial appointment, creating future income opportunities from your bridal business, add-on services, men's grooming, brows, aesthetics, hair, and more, creating an extraordinary client experience, service and follow-up, identifying bridal vendor resources, partnerships and business relationships, trade event participation, the psychology of bridal work, addressing brides' frequently asked questions, creating a bridal checklist in the bride's file, communication with the bride and listening for critical clues, the dynamics of modern model makeup, the creation and design process of bridal makeup, the many purposes of the face chart, perfecting the skin, an advanced beauty makeup technique, incorporating trend into bridal makeup, and must-have products in this and the essential bridal kit. The Fort Lauderdale dates, the seminar, demonstration, and business overview is Saturday, March 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. That's $65 for the Powder Group Pro members, $85 for non-members. The workshop, hands-on workshop, and in-depth business focus, Sunday, March 8th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's $290 for the Powder Group Pro members and $390 for non-members. And if you are interested in registering for that class, you can go to thepowdergroup.com. And again, it will be hosted at Cosmic School of Makeup Artistry. I think that's where Marietta Carter teaches.
Yeah, I believe so. The Face and Body Art Conference, what were the dates on that again?
May 21st through the 24th. It's always leading up to Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. And that's if you are interested in body painting or face painting. Some people, you know, when they hear face painting, they think clowns and you know, face painting for kids. And it can include that, because that is a very lucrative business. Painters make a lot of money and they're busy all year long. But sometimes face painting is not just clowns and you know, little characters for kids, but you know, it goes along with the actual body painting. So you can really get into some artistic work with that. So this conference is really good for people of all levels. If you think you're interested and you want to learn how to face paint or body paint, this is the conference for you, because at this conference you will learn it. They will have all the products that you need, all the brushes that you need, anything that you need to get started. They also have a business side of the conference where they're teaching you, you know, what to charge. You know, they're teaching you the same as the powder group about contracts and, you know, packages for parties, birthday parties, or, you know, children's events, or even, you know, if you're working with like with corporate clients, like let's just say, you know, a professional basketball team where, you know, maybe they're doing a commercial or something in print and they need, you know, body painting or something. You know, they teach you how to deal with those clients and how to, you know, what to charge, how to do your contracts, and basically how to create the designs and how to carry it out. So this is definitely a conference for artists on all levels.
And it's FABAIC, F-A-B-A-I-C?
I-C, yes.
Okay.
Face and Body Art International Conference.
International. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much for that bit of information. And tonight, our guest tonight calls herself a hair choreographer, and I definitely want her to explain what a hair choreographer is. But please welcome to the show, Ms. Sherlina Allen.
Hi.
Sherlina,
how are you? This is Sherlina, how are you doing?
Good.
How are you two doing?
Great.
You are wonderful.
Good. It's cold there, huh?
Yeah.
Very.
All over the East Coast.
Okay. Well,
even
my name
in Florida.
Is Sherlina Allen, to your audience. My name is Sherlina Allen, born and raised in California. I started doing hair when I was 11 years old. And
oh, wow.
And consulting with clients at that age at the same time, and I actually my income actually took care of my family.
Oh wow! At 11 years old.
Yeah, so I've been doing hair for a while. I started off braiding hair, and then I started experimenting with hair.
Gotcha. And what inspired you to at 11? What inspired you to become a hairstylist?
Mother, I would watch her braid our hair up and do our hair, and she took care of our hair on a daily basis, oiling our hair down and everything. And then I started playing with my Barbie dolls, and I just became obsessed.
Right.
I became
right.
obsessed.
Did you ever think when you started doing that it would turn into a successful career, or you just thought maybe this is something that I like?
Well, it was like playing tennis. I love tennis, and I love painting and drawing, and I used to draw, and I could look at something and draw it. It was just something like a hobby. It was doing hair was a hobby. So braiding hair was a hobby. It started off as a hobby that turned into a way of living.
Okay. Now, I'm pretty certain that probably back when you were 11, you know, you didn't have to have a license to braid. So what made you decide, okay, I want to do more than just braid hair?
Wow, that's good. I wanted all the money. I wanted more money. I wanted
right.
to. I had almost set the house on fire when I was a child with a curling iron in the kitchen. I had my mom's curling iron, her electric curling iron, around the in the kitchen around the sink, and it dropped in it, and I almost electrocuted myself, or set the house on fire or something. So. You know, she guided me. As I got older, she guided me, and I tried to go to beauty college when I was, let me see. I was in seventh grade, and they told me I was too young. I had to wait till I was 16. And I was maybe like 12 or 13 years old, you know, trying to go to beauty college to get a license to do hair. So
wow.
She wanted me to be structured in it if I was going to do it. So she actually took me to the beauty college to enroll me, and they said she has to wait. So I was really anxious.
Wow.
So I then actually took classes. I acquired 1,000 hours of cosmetology in high school in SWAC. So it was a program where they had like vacational programs where you can leave you know, after class and go to another school and learn how to be a construction worker or, you know, just anything else. Like
right.
Architect, but I chose cosmetology, although I really was torn between being an architect, a construction mm-hmm. worker, and hair. My dad
well,
was a
contractor.
Yeah, this is where it all comes from. You say hair choreographer, okay? So it's leading into that. My dad was a contractor, so he built a lot of buildings downtown Los Angeles here. My mom always stayed in hair.
Okay.
And I like to draw, and I like to draw with rulers, and you know, and I like to draw lines, and so now all these things take part in you know in hair. So you know, at the time that I started doing Sierra's hair, and I would see her just twirling around all the time. Every time I weaved her hair and the way she dances, I said, "I'm the hair choreographer."
Mhm.
You know,
so define
that
hair choreographer.
Mm-hmm. Define it?
Define it, yeah.
With me taking the structured skills and techniques that I learned, right, and techniques that I developed on my own through creativity, I just blend it all together, and it just makes hair move. It became a movement thing
right.
for me, you know, and the cut way I cut hair and the way I broke rules in cutting, you know, starting off, you know, and then I had to go to school and learn how to cut a more structured way. So, I developed my own creativity cutting hair. So it just makes the hair move. Like I go in on a cut. Like I don't,
right.
Sometimes I may take an hour to cut a you know, a head of full hair augmentation or install or whatever. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, or someone's hair, short hair, like I go in.
Well, speaking of, I
actually contour the cut to a person's face, like, you know.
Right. Well, yeah. Speaking of movement of the hair, how is it
mm-hmm.
different with styling and cutting? Well, I guess you can include cutting, but styling of the hair for someone who, like a Sierra or another music artist who's always a lot like a Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different when styling the hair versus like you're working with an actress or working with someone that's just actually coming into the salon? How is the styling a little different?
I do consultations, and with taking the information that I'm giving about their lifestyle, and some may mention what their husband's like, some may not. I'll just tell them just relax, and I'll just take the wheel from there. Actresses, you are doing their hair maybe for a film, so you have to do it to their hair to the character. You have to read the script sometimes and do their hair to the character. What's required of that? And if you're taking care of their hair on the you know like on a monthly basis, then you're just dealing with their natural hair, so you're quite naturally taking care of their hair because. Their natural hair goes through a lot of stress during the time they're filming.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then with an artist, which I'm called on to image artists to their music. So now I have to listen to the music and create a style for them to their music. Maybe something that is where music is going. Then I look into the hair, into the future, and see what the styles are that's going to be coming out in the new seasons. Basically, you can get that information from, you know, magazines and editorials for London or overseas magazines, and you can look and see what's coming out next because we're, you know, the United States is about 2 years behind.
Yeah.
So, in style. So you can look into the future and find out what styles are coming out and kind of match it up with the music. You know,
mm-hmm.
And then you have to then now match it up with their face.
Mm.
So, you know. Mm-hmm.
Now.
I don't allow them to, like, show me a picture and say, here, I want my hair like that. I'd like to.
Oh, right, right.
Create
right.
something
that's
new.
That's what
always
I was going to ask you. How much of it is it all your creativity, or do you allow them to have any input at all?
We kind of collaborate.
Okay.
And sometimes the managers are involved.
Right.
Yes. So So we just collaborate and make it happen. And then sometimes it's, and for videos, you know, you're looking at like the wardrobe that they're going to wear in a video. So it just changes all the time. I like an artist that likes to change their hair all the time, as I do my clients. And I like to do the same thing.
How difficult is that when you have you know, your thoughts on the style, you have the artist's thoughts, and then you have the manager? Like how difficult is that? If that is difficult. Yeah, if you have an idea of something that you want to do and you've discussed with them and you come up with something in your head, but yet let's just say you have a manager that's saying, well, no, I don't think that's gonna fit her, or I don't think it's gonna look right. But you as a stylist, you know how it has to be carried out to get to what you all agreed to. I mean, were there ever times where you had a manager who almost didn't allow you to do what you knew was best?
Sometimes, but I usually have the top notch. I usually deal with the top notch managers, and they usually come to me with some kind of a portfolio type book.
Uh-huh.
Lookbook, and we would go through pictures, and we would choose certain styles. We may do various styles, like a fitting, you know, like those artists may try on different outfits. So sometimes we'll put on different wigs to see how they look in a certain style, just to kind of see what it looks like ahead of time, so we won't waste any time. But it's all creativity, and it's, you know, and it's just working together, trying to make something happen, just making a star, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because once they become a star, you get notoriety off of doing their hair, and that's where the notoriety comes into play for the hairstylist at that time.
So
most of the artists that I've worked with and started with, Vivica Fox and just different actresses at the height of their career, was unique about myself in the industry, and probably why my name is known, is because I changed a lot of lives in their careers, and I was there for them at that time, and I just happened to be blessed to be in the right place at the right time and available to do all these different artists and actresses at the same time. And no one looked alike, you know. No two looked alike. I didn't recreate it. But it was the height of their career. So at the height of their career, it became the height of my career and a new thing for me. So that's where all this notoriety came from. So I was very blessed.
Let me ask you, how hard is it to, you know, being a celebrity stylist, you have, you know, you may be working with three or four celebrities who are very popular all at the same time, so that you're going to see them all in a lot of magazines, sometimes in the same magazine at the same time. And it's like, how hard is it? Because, you know, you'll see today.
Wait, what's the question?
The question is, how hard is it to keep them all looking different as far as the hairstyle? Because, you know, you just said no one all has the same style. How hard or easy is that to keep them all different? Because sometimes you can almost see some celebrity stylist's work on two or three different artists. How hard is that?
It's not hard, because the one, Vivica does not want to look like Brandy.
Right.
And Brandy doesn't want to look like Serena Williams. And Kelly Rowland doesn't want to look like, you know, the next person. And doing all of them at the same time, being that I'm the same hairstylist, we all would look really crazy with all of them looking alike. I would look crazy and they would look crazy. So that, you know, we kept that comes into mind as well. Plus, it's just an individual style that they need, that you have to create on them, that works for them and looks good on them, that it doesn't work, you know, it's not going to work for all of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not,
do you think
color, you can change it up with color, you can change it up with veins, you can change, you know what I mean? You can change it up with incorporating a lot of different things to make that difference.
Situation when you see some celebrity styles who may do the same, similar, very similar, you can just automatically spot their work. Do you think it's a matter of, because this is what's popular, or, you know, this is like a new trend that's in, that it's kind of easy for them to kind of put it on all of their girls? Because you're right, it is an individual type of thing. So like you said, it's not hard.
to not create the same look?
I think at some point in rotation, they may all end up, some may end up with the same hairstyle that somebody had like 6 months before or something like that. It can be a popular style, like Kim Kardashian's wearing a hard line bob, right? In the shoulder length. Kelly from Kelly and Regis show, she when she came out with her bob, and a lot of people in her, and, you know, Caucasian women started getting their hair chopped off in a bob when she came out with her bob. Now here's Kim. So now a lot of women are attracted to that bob. That the bobs are in. If you look in the fashion editorial magazines, right, you know, that are out right now, that had probably been out in Europe for a while, on new releases here, you'll see that the bob has been in for a while, and it probably inspired Kim's hairstylist to do that.
Look.
So it's just an inspiration that comes from change, you know, and there's nothing new under the sun, so
right.
It just evolves.
Right.
Yeah,
now,
it's an inspiration to see her hair cut like that. I never thought she would cut her hair off like that. So I like that. Because that's good for the hairstylist. That's good for us. When a celebrity change and is eye candy to an audience, it's good for us. Is the clients are going to come in and want something new. Now, that bob is not going to look the same on each person. Five people can walk in and want that bob, and none of those clients are going to look alike when they walk out with the bob.
Right. Right.
And they could get the same cut, but they'll all look different.
Well, have you had an opportunity before this show to see any of the Oscar red carpet?
Yes, I've been watching it all day.
Okay.
I can't listen to it because I'm on the phone with you all.
Right. What do you think of some of the hairstyles that you've seen tonight?
I love it. I love them.
Anything?
I love it all. They're all different. I love it. Yeah, I like some of the actresses who have their own hair done and coiffed and pinned back, and, you know, some of the messy hairdos that where they don't care and it's kind of like messy but neat.
Right.
Lady Gaga's hair was cool. I love her gloves. Oh, my God.
I love Jennifer's hair.
Fashion, yeah. Uh-huh. I always love her hair. Aubrey does her hair. I love her hair always. Whether it's messy or tight ponytail or whatever, I love her hair. No, I've seen a lot of interesting wardrobe and gowns.
Mm-hmm.
I believe gowns are in now. I believe more gowns, you know, a lot of people are buying gowns now, you know,
yeah.
And wearing gowns. I love that. But hair, I love hair. I love the short haircut, the real, real short haircuts. I'm amazed at some of the women and actresses and singers that have cut all their hair off now. I love it. Now, Carrie... Washington.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what did you think about Kerry Washington?
Her hair or her?
Her hair. Or just her,
oh, her hair. I love her hair.
Her hair and then her overall look.
Yeah, I love her look. She's always soft and sensual.
Yeah.
Yeah, she she always has soft looks. My friend was working on Scandal, and she was, my friend Tanya, Tanya Cryer was doing the first lady's hair on Scandal, and another young lady that Kerry brought from New York was doing Kerry's hair, so I would always put them in competition, like, because I love the first lady's hair on there.
Oh, yeah, her hair is gorgeous.
I love it. I love the hair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her hair is
I
gorgeous.
Don't have any complaints.
Are there any celebrities out there that you haven't worked with that you would love to work with?
Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
I would love to work with her. as a kid, I always imagined doing Stevie Wonder's hair, braids, but I don't dream of it anymore.
Right.
I don't actually. For me to say Kerry Washington is maybe because she's on the television right now in my face, you know. But other than that, I don't think about it because I've touched so many that I don't think about it anymore.
Right. It's just whoever when they come.
Yes, it's always a surprise.
How has the industry changed since you first started? Since, let's say, maybe after you got your license,
mm-hmm.
and up until now, how has the industry changed? What changes have you noticed?
The cosmetology schools are more expensive now. The education became more expensive.
Do you think that?
Yeah, when I went to beauty college, it was $310. When I went to beauty college, and now it's like in thousands. You know, they're getting grants, and these kids are graduating and still owing money to the system just for going to beauty college.
Do you think that stops a lot of stylists who want to be licensed from going to get their license?
I think it did. Yes. Yes. There's more hair shows. There's an increase in independent product companies. And there's a new name for weaving. We all know that, right? The new name for hair weaving is now called installs.
Oh.
I think it's so professional. I love it.
Okay,
let me ask you
more
this.
I like installs, you know.
Let me ask you this now that Viola Davis is up and she's speaking. I think she looks absolutely gorgeous. And I think
That's another thing that has changed. The hair has changed. We're embracing natural hairstyles at this time.
Right.
She looks lovely. Her makeup is lovely. Her dress is lovely. Her accessories is lovely, and her hair is natural.
And
she's African American.
And I wish she would wear her hair natural all the time.
Yes.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Well, she, you know, because on the show, the transition, she's, you know, they like the transition. Like, we like the excitement of her transforming back and forth, you know?
Yeah. But then, when she takes her wig off at night and all that.
I love that
they
wrote that in there like that. The writer is crazy. I love it.
Exactly. So let me ask you, let me ask you a question, because you were talking about how when you started off braiding.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've noticed is there are a lot of hairstylists who don't necessarily weave or install. They part of the problem is it's not that they don't know how to weave hair. Part of the problem is they don't know how to braid. Is that something that you just pick up naturally, or is that something that can really be taught? Or
you can teach braiding.
Most people that I know that braid really well, it is something that they've just been doing as a kid. They started braiding as a child.
They don't teach braiding. I don't believe they teach braiding in beauty college, but it's just something that was that most of us picked up from our sisters or mothers or aunties or something like that. Or just had a desire and just wanted to try. Our friend may have taught you. It can be taught.
Now, for those stylists who don't do it because they're not good braiders, do you think possibly they're missing out on something? Do you think, they could be much further in their careers?
Well, actually, what we do, we have braiders that braid up our clients sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't braid them up, or if a stylist doesn't know how to braid up, lay the foundation for a weave, for any extensions, you have a braider. You hire a braider on the side, or an assistant to braid up the client.
Right.
And then you weave.
Right. And I've seen people do that a lot too. But if it were something where you could actually make the money doing it yourself, if you just only knew how to braid. I mean, I see a lot of people throw business to other people because they just don't know how to braid, but I find it that they're not trying to learn. And I don't know if it's something that, they don't want to do it because they don't necessarily like it, or it's just because they just don't know how. Like, I think you should learn.
Well, you're speaking of just like braiding and styling or laying a foundation for extensions.
Just laying the foundation for extensions.
Okay. I don't understand why a stylist would not want to make money from installing.
Right.
I don't understand why they would not want to take their money or take their client. All you have to do is just get an assistant to braid up the hair. So I don't,
Well, that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that's what they do. They'd much rather. So I've seen people just turn clients over to somebody altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've seen, and most of the time, the people who get someone else to braid up the hair are stylists who they have a lot of clients and they want to keep things moving. So they'll get somebody to braid up the hair and then they sew the hair in. And they, you know, and they're able to continue working with their other clients while one client is getting braided. That I understand. But I'm just talking about the ones who aren't
that don't want to ever learn how to braid.
They don't ever want to learn how to braid. That baffles me that you wouldn't want to learn that.
But I'll tell you, I can speak from my own experience. I did not, you know, I worked at Elgin Charles Salon, and I was as a beginner, like I wanted to learn how to do everything. If a client walked through the door, it granted me a lot of opportunities to celebrities and just any and everybody. Macy Gray walked in. I had my book already ready of braids and curly styles. Like, I had a book. I wanted to know how to do everything to hair. I didn't want one client to walk in that door that I had to turn away, that I would have to turn away. You know what I mean? Like, if Elgin came to me and said, you know, can you do this? Yes, I can do it. I was, in essence, because of that, with some of the top-notch hairstylists in the world. And I was a young girl, you know, with them in the same editorial because I knew how to do everything. So if they called the salon, any salon that I worked in, or you know, and they called, I was available, and I made myself available, and I made the money, and I did the work because I made sure I educated myself on everything. Instead of, I just have advice for stylists. A lot of stylists do a lot of shopping, you know, and they don't have, their priorities are pretty mixed up with how they spend their money. I was a stylist who actually flew myself to other states and educated myself. Mm-hmm. And I returned with my certificates, you know, to frame them, not to put them in a box, to frame them, to post them. You know, that allowed me to make more money and raise my prices, but I knew how to do everything. And once I perfected one thing, I perfected the next thing, and that's just the way I practice it.
Right.
So I don't understand that, you know.
Yeah, that leads
someone turning away with money like that.
Exactly. That leads me into my next question, and that was how committed are you to education? So just like education for yourself, and then how committed are you to educating others?
I can stand to take a couple of classes right now. But let me tell you something. If I can create 50 Sherlinas for all 50 states, I would have Sherlina in all 50 states at one time educating stylists.
Hmm.
Right now, if I could be there in all 50 states at one time. So I'm on a mission. Right now.
Right.
And I love educating. I was a platform artist for Elastic QP. I love educating. I put myself out when I closed my salon in Beverly Hills, I put myself on a tour, educational tour, all by myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Funded it myself. And, you know, I just came back and took a break, and I just took a break from the industry, and then I'm back. So I'm back, and I'm a mainstay right now. So if you guys need me to come out there and teach a class to these stylists who don't want to learn how to braid.
Yeah, you know.
Elgin taught me when I was under his roof is that you can turn your $200 day into a $500 day. You can turn your $500 day into a $1,000 day, and so on and so on, you know.
Right,
and then
exactly.
It becomes thousands of dollars a week, and that you're not even working for a celebrity. You're doing clients, regular bread and butter.
That's my point. Because
what about teaching makeup, how to do hair? You know, not like heavy duty hair, but just basic styling. You know, sometimes they ask makeup artists to do the hair as well.
Right, that would be nice.
Like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay.
Basic curling. Styling. Being able to balance the hairstyle when they're done. Everything. Something that enhanced their makeup. And vice versa, you know?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, I can teach anything.
That would be a good class.
Well, I can't teach anything, but I can teach a lot. I can teach, you know, preparing for editorial shoots and how it's supposed to look and, you know. Yeah, I can teach that.
let me ask you this, because you said, mm-hmm. okay, you had the salon, 50 North,
mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. You said you eventually closed your salon. Talk a little bit about the whole the salon, like what inspired you to open the salon?
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you say, okay, enough is enough, and you closed it? How did you balance owning the salon, working in the salon, and then working
traveling.
With your client, traveling all over the place? How did you balance all that?
God. God did that. Girl, shoot, I couldn't have done that by myself. I was inspired to open a salon because I wanted to be a leader in the business. I was tired of being under the umbrella of other owners and running their salons how they wanted to, or an owner developing jealousy or envy for me and or talking to me, you know, being catty and so forth and so on. I wanted to be a great example of a salon owner, a stylist slash salon owner, you know, understanding stylist because I am a stylist, you know. So I wanted to combine the two and set an example, and I did. So today, now I'm called on to assist owners of salons, and they ask the same question that you ask. And they're actually, I have a lot of celebrity stylists, a lot of friends who style celebrities, and they may own a salon, and you know, and they might want to sell their salon because they want to give up, and I'm encouraging them not to. Because you can do both. You can. It can happen. You know. It takes marketing, it takes commitment, discipline, maybe it takes retail, you know, retailing products that, you know, consumers on the street can walk in and purchase, not just, you know, clients that come in and out of the salon. There's a way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way. I had good retail. I may didn't always have a consistency of good management, but I managed it pretty well myself, and I had a very expensive overhead, large expensive overhead. That drove me crazy, but everything else was fine. You know,
right.
The rotating of stylists coming and going. If I felt like a stylist wasn't blow-drying correctly or they weren't standing correctly behind the chair, but posture, anything, I trained them on everything. I trained them how to put the comb to the attachment to the blow-dryer down and use the brush. I taught them a recipe from beginning to end with hair to installs. And finishing styles, you know. The clients wasn't offended when I would stop the stylist and educate them on their hair. Actually, the client would appreciate that. The, you know, their clients love me, you know.
Right.
So it was very interesting. Like I would do it again.
So you would do a salon again?
Yeah, I would do a salon again. I want an outdoor salon.
An outdoor?
Yeah, I want an outdoor salon.
Now, what's that concept all about? How does that work?
I don't like the cage in thing. Like
mm-hmm.
to be indoors. I would love to cut hair outdoors. I would love to color hair outside. I want to do hair. I want to style and curl hair outside. Yeah, if that ship comes in, I'm gonna build it from the ground up. I would have a salon where the roof comes off. Trust me, I'm gonna
gotcha.
Get out there somehow.
and you would have other stylists there with you, or would just be
yes,
just
ma'am. Epic. Yes, mhm. Yes, ma'am. That's my other dream.
That's very interesting. I'm sure you're gonna
yeah.
make that happen.
Yes, I am. But it won't be where it's snowing where you are.
Right.
See, we're in
but
sunny
it does,
California.
Look, it does rain in California now. It does rain in sunny California.
Yeah, it does rain. Yeah, it's raining now.
See, it's raining now, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I would have
something built where the rain, you know, I could still be outdoors and I could feel
right.
the breeze and maybe the mist from the rain or something of that nature, and I want to feel outdoors. I want to feel
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
even
a very
in the evening.
Concept.
Yeah, even in the evening. Mhm. Mhm.
What do you think makes a great hairstylist?
A stylist should consist of practicing good consultations, good research on product knowledge, marketing themselves, being on time with their clients, following up, and self-motivation.
Oh.
And that depends on someone to motivate them. Sounds good, right?
Oh, yes, it does.
I hope there's a ton of stylists listening to that.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That was great.
Let's talk about marketing, because you said
mm-hmm.
that you took a break from the industry.
Mm-hmm.
When you took that break from the industry, I'm sure the industry was not like it is today, and I'm not really sure at what point of your career when it was when you took the break and then at what point you came back, but I'm sure that there were some changes in that time that you were away. How did you market yourself or put yourself out there to get back in the game and to be relevant in the game and for people to say, you know, I want Charlena to do my hair? What did you do to market yourself? Because, you know, there's a lot of times when, especially like with my sister and I, we do makeup for film and television. And a lot of times, like, you know, you will work for long periods of time. And some people will work years, and then they find themselves not working or going their own or what have you. But when they come back, it's like a whole new world. And it's like, you know, you miss some time. People are still moving forward. And it's like, what do you do to jump back in?
Yeah, when the 5-year mark came on my break, I kind of did some research and I found out that no one was coming for me. When the 6-year came, then that clock started ticking. Are you going to get back in the industry? Are you not? What you going to do? I had to make a decision. When the 7th year came, YouTube. Stylists all over the world on YouTube educating, right?
Mm-hmm.
On everything.
Mm.
So the market is like everything. Like if they just put their dog's hair in a ponytail and color, they're coloring their dogs now. They're, like there's hairstylists, kitchen hairstylists in their bathrooms.
Right.
Educating on from their iPhones. Everything has changed. There's smartphones. There's the computer, there's Skype, there's social media, there's internet, there's everything now. Everything is going on now. Everything is all over the place. It's hard for me to sell an educational DVD now because everyone knows how to weave now. You know, it may not be my technique, but I actually started special effects hair doing the lace wigs, lace fronts, and I educated myself earlier on in the game. At a time that no one was doing those. And so I always lived in the future when it came to hair, so I prepared myself. I had no idea I was going to take a break when I closed the salon in Beverly Hills. My mom became sick. I couldn't wait to close the salon to take that break. What has changed in the industry is, and I'm sure you guys are celebrity makeup artists and you work on television and sets, right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
The money, the pay has changed.
Yeah.
Today, to make up for the money that that's not being made by the, you know, celebrity hairstylists and makeup artists today and wardrobe stylists, is you're able to get, to take a picture or a selfie with an artist now, and that's the other part of your money, you know what I mean? Like I was 15 on a prep day, and I was 25 on a work day. That was my day rate, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So today they're getting paid like $250 and $350 and $400, $700. Like, it's not the same. The pay is not the same.
You're talking about like on music videos?
Yeah, just everything. The pay is not the same anymore. That's changed. Kitchen hairstylists are out. I mean, they know how to upload themselves and market themselves. There's a lot of marketing going on by unlicensed stylists. You know, it's a lot of things going on. It is very different today.
Well, you know, I agree with everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
As far definitely music videos. You know, the budgets on those have definitely
changed. The budget is not there.
I think with with a lot of film and television stuff, the good thing about that is a lot of that stuff is governed by the union, so they
mm-hmm.
are contracts that are negotiated,
mm-hmm.
and you know our rates constantly keep going up, but there are certain
good.
Things that are negotiated that aren't, like you know our box
mm-hmm.
rentals and stuff like that are just seems
right.
to be getting lower and lower.
Our kids
but luckily
fees.
Luckily the rates are okay, but those kit
yeah.
fees are just ridiculous.
Yeah, and then,
the union
is good. I mean, that's a change too, that they're taking care of you in that respect. You have taxes taken out, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're on a
right.
salary, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's good. That's remains pretty stable.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the day, it was against etiquette to take a picture with an artist or a celebrity.
Absolutely.
And post
yeah.
it anywhere.
Yeah.
Like that's poor etiquette. And I would have to teach assistants not to do things like such back in the day. But now, today, it's the thing that.
It is. And that's where it's like, you know, the world has changed because social
mm-hmm.
media governs a lot of stuff now. And it's
mm-hmm.
like you find yourself. Like you can find yourself talking about it and saying, you know, like you said, you mentioned there are a lot of, you know, hairstylists who, you know, who aren't licensed that are, you know, finding ways to do these videos and upload themselves and they're marketing themselves and people are running to that. But the thing,
mm-hmm.
This is what I find because, you know, there were times when I've fallen into that trap of saying, you know, oh, you got all these YouTubers and beauty bloggers and this and that, and, you know, and you might think, oh, they're taking our jobs or whatever. But this is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like it or you don't,
mm-hmm.
we as artists, as professional artists, whether we do hair, makeup, or whatever it is, we have to find a way to either, you know, join this revolution and
mm-hmm.
make things better for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
or we just sit back and just don't say anything and just kind of get left behind because these people aren't stopping. They're going to continue doing what they're doing. There are people
mm-hmm.
out there who are looking at this like your everyday woman. They're looking at this and they're falling for this. I'll say it time and time again on this show. I call it all the reality television makeup and hair
mm-hmm.
people. You know
mm-hmm.
what we have to do as professional artists, we have to find a way to, like I said, to join this revolution, to find a way to get out there and market ourselves. And allow
mm-hmm.
these people who are looking at all of this and thinking it's the greatest thing that so and so's on YouTube and they're showing you how to do a smoky eye.
Right.
We have to find a way as a professional to teach these people the right way. Not just
mm-hmm.
not just saying because we've been in the business for so long and we know this or that, but we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And we know that a lot of stuff out there is not being taught properly. So it's
right.
up to us to make it right. And trust
no, it
me,
is.
The cream will rise to the top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is because you take that back because it is because you worked in the industry. They're not working in the industry. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Your training is different. You're an independent contractor. I've been an entrepreneur for as long as I can remember, like since I was 11, you see? So
mm-hmm.
we have to give ourselves our own vacation pay. We have to
right,
pay for
right.
our own life insurance. We have to pay our taxes separately. We have to everything. We have to pay for everything, our own medical, our own dental. We don't get that's not in our check. We don't get a check sometimes.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it is because you crawl before you walk. It is.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning from you. They're mimicking what you've done on your artists.
Mm-hmm.
They're mimicking what you've done on TV. They're mimicking the young people on YouTube. They didn't just come up with it. They saw someone with their makeup done like that.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You are the trendsetter, and because you are the trendsetter, you have to stand your ground, and that is the revolution that you're talking about. I teach stylists to stand tall where you are. As long as you stand tall where you are and maintain integrity, you will always be recognized as that person standing tall. And that means stand your ground, stand tall where you are, and market yourself and take care of yourself where you are and stay classy with it. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what's going to separate you.
Exactly.
What separates you all and I is our resumes everything that we've done in our past is our accolades, you know what I mean?
Right.
Our certificates, our education, how we were taught, who we were taught by, that's all we have to stand on. That's all
right.
We have, you know?
Right.
Nobody's going to bring you a trophy for nothing, you know?
Right.
You know? So, yeah, it is. It is. Revolution or not, you are your own revolution.
Right. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
No one has to join your revolution. You are your own revolution, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you guys have a talk beauty show and I have a talk hair radio show, and that's why we're talking about it. That's
mm-hmm.
a revolution.
So give us the
revolution.
Give the listeners the information about your hair show.
The class that I'm teaching tomorrow, my hair cutting party.
No, you're.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you about the hair cutting party
as well.
You said you have your radio show.
Oh, yeah, the talk hair radio show. Yes, talk hair media. I have a co-host by the name of Tyra Jackson. She's former host of her own show called Street Therapy. Access cable show where
mm-hmm.
she actually sat down with her guests and interviewed them live in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
So she retired that and she joined me with Talk Hair Media. And she actually pushed me into this destiny. She encouraged me. She said, I want you to, I want to encourage you to get back to where you were before in a different light. And I'm going to, you know, split the cost with you. I'm going to go on the show with you. I'm going to do it with you. And I'm going to make sure you talk, you know, because I'm shy. So being that I'm shy and the things that I desire to do in the future that I may retire on, right, that I choose to retire, the way I choose to retire, is I have to talk, and I have to break the shyness. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like, you know,
right.
Like I was taught when I was a platform artist, Trina, if you don't talk, you'll never be a star. So I started talking on stage about what I was doing with the product company. So that's different than, you know, interviewing, you know, people.
Right.
So I figured it would be easy because it's people that I know. So, on my show, when I invite them on, I invite people that I know in the business and been knowing for a long time. I have all the right questions. And then my co-hosts ask questions that maybe consumers or outsiders or people that don't know about this person may ask. So we ask different type of questions.
Right. I've listened to one of the shows.
It makes it
fun. A very great show. Stacey, I forget her last name, but the barber.
Stacey
I enjoyed Kent. That show.
Stacey
yes,
Kent, yes.
I enjoyed that
yes,
so much.
Yes. One of the good shows. And DL is a barber to, God, what's his name? They're all celebrity stylists. Chris Spencer, he does Chris Spencer's hair, but then Stacey does like Eddie Murphy, Anthony Anderson. She works on Scandal. Now she's working on Blackish. And she's just all she has a barbershop set up in her garage attached to her big house. You know, she's doing well. They jet set. I have another friend named Conrad Hilton. He jet sets with Jamie Foxx all the time. And I'm gonna have him on the show soon. He's always on a jet or a yacht.
Mm. I know the name for sure.
He's always, he has no control over it. He's just always on a yacht or, you know, a jet or a Learjet. He's just always gone. He's always in a hotel. He's always in beautiful places.
He has no control over it.
He has no control over it. None. He used to work in 50 North back in the day. I groomed a lot of stylists and assistants into celebrity hairstylists today. So that means, like, when I say you're, you know, you can't get the people on YouTube to say they learn from you, but you can also, you know, your resume changes, your bio changes. I turned a lot of assistants into celebrity hairstylists today. I did. Yes, I did. I trained them. So that's where leadership changes. That's why, you know, I may not desire to stand behind a chair until I'm 50, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Talk Hair Radio is a platform for me to move up a ladder in media, you know, where I can reach the world from home.
Right.
And I don't have to fly all these different places, you know?
Right, right.
I don't have any kids. I don't have a family. I don't have a husband. But I like being home sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But
well, I like
talk a little bit about your haircut, because I heard it on your interview. You, you're doing in October of this year another haircutting party. What is that about?
How do you remember that? That's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the date. You remember the month that I announced. The haircutting party is another way of a platform to elevate other stylists who cut hair really, really good and style hair good, but they have to perform a haircut, like a performance of a haircut on their model. Their model most of the time is in bondage, tied up in some type of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys looking at this gown? Are you looking at that gown?
No.
Are you at the award
show? Gorgeous. I was looking at it.
Oh, my God.
You like it?
Yeah, when my sister gets quiet, that means she's looking at television.
Exactly. So, yeah, the haircutting party, it'll be in October. It's usually a costume party where you have to dress up. Yeah, it's usually a costume party around Halloween time.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is going to be crazy. I hope you guys can make it.
Yeah,
I plan on traveling with it one day.
Keep us posted because we would love to come and cover it.
Okay, that'd be great.
Keep us posted on that.
So I need to interview you all now.
Okay.
How do you like having your own talk beauty show?
We absolutely love it. We've been doing this for 7 years now. When we first started, we were doing it on a Thursday night. And it was okay for Thursday night, but what we saw was that because we interview working professionals, sometimes it got to the point where it was a little hard for some artists. Like, they would book the show and they said, yes, I'm going to do it. And then, you know, because it's a Thursday night, they may be working earlier in the day and, you know, they don't have control of when we get off of work. So what affected them being on our show. So we thought the best way to find a solution for that was to move it to Sunday night. So that's what we did. Because sometimes we were also, like, I remember times when my sister would be in Atlanta and I would be in L.A. working on a film project, and I couldn't be there on a Thursday night to do the show. So
right.
With those two things happening, we decided we're going to move it on Sunday. Most people aren't working on Sunday. So it kind of worked out better. But
we may move our night too. We're on a Thursday. We don't know what that looks like yet.
Yeah. But the great thing about it is people always can, with your show and with our show, people can always go back and listen to it as many times as they want. You know, so that's the great thing about it. You know, and now that we're on Sunday nights, we just have to compete with Atlanta Housewives. But other than that, I mean, you know.
Because award season will be over after tonight, so we don't have to compete with that anymore this year.
Right. But it's good because you're in beauty, though. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, because you can kind of
I say talk hair, but I really mean talk beauty, you know. But, you know. It's
right.
Exactly. I'm just trying to reach the hairstylist. But I'm trying to reach out more than just the hairstylist, but I'm really talking to them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really trying to, you know, expose more hairstylists. They don't always have to be a celebrity hairstylist. They could be just a regular working hairstylist.
Right.
Educating about hair loss. The importance in participating in the cancer walks and different things of that nature. Women's self-esteem. You know what I mean? Makeovers, more makeovers. You know, I'm going to have some makeup artists on. I'm going to have estheticians on everything. I mean, you know, I want, you know, people need to know and be educated.
Absolutely.
You can walk through Walgreens all day long or walk through a pharmacy all day long picking up just whatever, but you don't even know about the product. You're not educated. You're not reading the bottles. Is just buying something because somebody else purchased it. You know what I mean? Just different things.
But you know, and now that you say that, it's kind of what I was talking about earlier about the whole, like, you know, these stylists on YouTube. If you have these people who are just, you know, on YouTube saying, you know, get this product because I used it and it did this and it was great.
Right.
You know, that's great that if that's your you know, your little video blog, if that's what you do, that's fine. But that's the thing. Your everyday person looking at this, They're just doing it because somebody says, go and get this. And they're looking at this person's hair and sees that it's just so fly, like, okay, I want my hair like that. But that product is not necessarily going to make your hair like that. You have to understand what you're putting on your hair, what you're putting on your scalp. So to have your show and people listening to your show, not just your, not just the, you can not only reach hairstylists, because that's good that they can now educate their clients, but, you know, their clients can listen into the show, and they can get an education themselves just by listening to the people that you bring on.
Right.
And that's what I mean about, you know, the professional, you know, doing the job of teaching, just your teaching the client and the YouTuber or whoever else the proper way of doing things, and, you know, teaching them the proper usage of some of these products and the ingredients that are in them.
Right. I'm actually teaching a class tomorrow here in Inglewood, California.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business. It starts off as a business seminar. Then it ends up where I'm teaching install. I love the word install. I love it. I'm going to be teaching a full hair augmentation with a front lace closure at Salon Spa 313. It's in Inglewood, California. The owner is David Rice, and the manager's name is Kiyokia. I chose Kiyokia, the manager, for my model. And the reason why I chose the manager of the salon for my model is because she's in the forefront. And I would hope that it would interest stylists that work there, which I think they have over 30 stylists that work there. It's a large salon. Would be encouraged to come and watch Kiyokia have her weave done by me, so that they can pay attention and learn my technique and hair augmentation. You know, and we also have invited other stylists from other salons. They're welcome to come. We're covering topics in the business aspect of insurance, insuring yourself, cars, your auto insurance, life insurance, disability insurance, renter's insurance, just a lot of different things. I have another friend who does celebrity raps. Her name is Lisa. She does the celebrity raps when they wrap your body. We're going to talk about weight loss and hair enhancement vitamins, the one that they call It Works. It Works celebrity raps and It Works hair vitamins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I can kind of see the little testimonies on that, and I believe that it works. I kind of believe in the product, so I want to spread that word.
What time is the class?
It starts at 10. It's from 10 to 4 on tomorrow.
Okay, so I'll post it on our...
Yeah, I want to cover it. How are you going to fly out here?
No, not tomorrow. But I am going to post it on our Facebook.
Yeah, I'll send you the flyer.
Oh, okay.
I know what the last question is.
What is that? What am I going
to
ask?
What is beauty to me?
Yes, what is beauty to you?
The last question is, what is beauty to me?
Yes.
Beauty to me is your character and being able to be yourself. And exercise your character and just being who you really are when no one else is looking.
Mm.
You know, being authentic.
Right.
To me, just being authentic is where you find your security.
Right.
Nice.
You know, you can find security in yourself, just being yourself.
Absolutely.
I think you become insecure when you're trying to be someone else, you know.
That's true, and you find that a lot. You find that a lot in this business.
It's your character. Just be yourself.
Great. Well, thank you very much, my dear. I really do appreciate you joining us on Oscar night. I know you want to get back to the show. I know my sister wants to get to the show. She's been doing all that talking earlier. Now you can't hear her. That's because
I'm on the line. See, I didn't put the phone on mute. I'm on the line.
She's probably still looking at the show.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you.
Oh, yes.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You can have me anytime. We're going to call you guys and have you guys on our show.
Absolutely.
Good.
Let's do it.
And interview
Let's
you more.
It.
Okay, Tyra and I will do that. They're listening. Tyra's listening, so I'm sure Tyra's going to do a lot of research on you all now.
We love that.
She's the researcher. But I want to thank you so much. And if you need anything, you know, just call me.
Absolutely.
Not a problem.
Okay.
All right. Thank you
so
much.
Here.
Okay. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Any last-minute words before we go?
Just to follow us on Facebook, we're Beauty Talk Online Radio. And on Twitter, we're Beauty_Talk. And Instagram, we're Beauty_Talk_Media. Check us out.
Absolutely. And you can follow Sherlina on Twitter. It's at Sherlina Allen, S-H-I-R-L-E-N-A, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, on Twitter. I'm not sure if her Instagram is Sherlina Allen or if it's Sherlina Allen 1, but her website is www.sherlinaallen.com. I had to ask her to shout that stuff out before she left. I forgot. So that is what I do know, sherlinaallen.com and at Sherlina Allen 1. If you go to her website, you can find her, her Facebook and her Instagram. But thank you guys for tuning in. For those of you who were listening out there tonight, for those who were tweeting with us in the chat room on TikTok and on Twitter, appreciate you guys being there. Tiffany and Sharantina, I know I saw Tiffany, Sharantina, and Francis, I believe I saw out there. Thank you all
and
for your support.
Let me just say this. If you're ever follow the chat on TweetChat, and you're posting your tweets, but you're having a problem seeing everyone else's tweets, because sometimes TweetChat is not so reliable. You can always just go to Twitter and just search the hashtag Beauty Lounge and then follow the tweets that way.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week, same time, and it'll be March already. This is the last Sunday in February, so it'll be March next week, and we have Zena. We have Zena from Z Palette as our guest next week. So join us next week and get all your depotting questions ready for those of you who are big Z Palette fans. But also, we're going to talk to Zena also about her career as a makeup artist. She's an Emmy-winning makeup artist, so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Her work on Dancing with the Stars, as well as tune in next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 6 p.m. Pacific Time, Standard Time. So with that being said, thank you guys again for your support. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Have a good night.